This morning we're going to continue our journey with this whole idea of a Daniel plan and the idea of healthy living and what that means to us and that whole desire that God has for us in our lives. And we're going to continue this morning by beginning with Ecclesiastes, but also looking at a couple other passages. So I'm going to warn you about that. If you've got your Bibles, leave them open, and again, we'll go from there. But Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verses 9 through 12, where it says this: two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man, the woman, who falls and has no one to help him or her up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. This is the word of God. It wasn't until much later in my life that there was a TV show that came on by the title Cheers. And Cheers was a comedy that really spoke to life revolving around a local bar in Boston. And it was one where maybe you watched the show, maybe you didn't, maybe you heard of the show, maybe you didn't, but for many more, we remembered the song that went along with it. You know, a song about a place where everybody knows your name. Where you can go and you can find that community. And that happened later in my life, but it put an exclamation point on something that happened a long, long time ago. It happened in the pews of Westside Reformed Church on the south side of Chicago. As I sat there as a young adult, probably 14 years old, 15 years old, and we heard that in a few weeks we were going to have a lay mission workshop. Anybody remember those? Anybody, if you're old like me, huh? And these people who were lay people, all right, people just like you, carpenters, doctors, lawyers, electricians, plumbers, whatever, they put together a team of people. They would go into churches and they would do a lay mission workshop about how is it that you might better serve your community, how is it that you might reach out, and so forth and so on. But they weren't preachers. They were people who worked 9 to 5 every day, and they wanted to share their faith. But what struck me most as I sat there and I thought, oh great, got to listen to these people and they don't know how to talk, and they, oh, it's going to be like going to the dentist, you know. As I sat there on a Sunday morning, and suddenly this gentleman said, you know, I was so far away from God. And started to tell his story of wandering, of being that prodigal child. And then began to talk about his addiction and his drug abuse and ultimately his alcohol abuse and alcoholism. And then finding God and finding his recovery and finding hope and grace within Christ and finding this new life. It was interesting. But what intrigued me the most was where he kind of stopped for a moment and subtly said, but I missed the bar. And I was like, what? He said, yeah, you know, I have stopped the drinking. My life is new and my life has changed. But I got to be honest, I missed the bar. Because when I went there, we were all the same. And when I went there, we all knew each other's names. And when I went there, we were all in the thick of it together. Nobody really judged each other. Nobody really, I just knew I belonged and I was okay. And then he went on to say, and sometimes that's the problem with our churches today. That we don't just welcome people. That we have conditions. And that we have rules. And we expect people to be certain ways and act certain ways and say certain things before they can come into the church and be part of who we are. And simply put, he said, I miss my friends at the bar. Now, whether or not you understand that, believe that, whether or not you even like that, the truth is we all need that connection. Whether in the midst of alcoholism, whether or not we're in the midst of raising a family, whether we're in the midst of job loss or health problems or whatever it is, doing it alone can be so painful and overwhelming. But doing it with friends and with community can be life-changing. And that's really what it's about when we look at this whole Daniel plan. When we think about the idea of living healthy together, realize that we've got to do it together. We've got to be together in this plan, in this process. And doing it alone is a very difficult, if not impossible, task. Years ago, in the late to mid to late 80s, if you can believe that, a doctor really became famous over the whole idea of if we can change our lifestyle, we can live longer. And what do I mean by that? Well, he basically identified what we take for granted nowadays, that if we were to exercise on a regular basis, if we were to change our diet to a plant-based diet, if we could reduce our stress, and if we could, because so many of us at the time did, quit smoking, we could all live longer, healthier lives. We all know that. But what is interesting is that when he continued his research through the 90s and into the early 2000s, what he found was that that is not the complete answer. That when he went and he looked at patients and those who succeeded, those who changed and transformed their lives, and those who were still struggling or did not transform their lives, there was a key element between the two. And that was community. That was friendship. That was relationship. That as people go through this process of saying, I'm going to live healthier, those who did it in community, those who did it with the support and the encouragement of friends, succeeded. And those who did it on their own, alone, behind closed doors, or attempted to, failed miserably. He discovered that it wasn't simply an equation, but there was a human factor that was to be dealt with. From Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says this, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens. We are called to be people who live in our communities and care for one another and carry each other's burdens. So over the course of the last few weeks, if at all God is moving within your lives, we are called to talk about it and say, well, I've been called to exercise more. I've been called to get in the Word more. I've been called to, again, pray more. I've been called to change my diet. I've been called to quit smoking. I've been called to whatever it might be. We need to share those things. And in sharing those things, there becomes a health within our community. Because we suddenly bear one another's burdens. We suddenly identify that we're not alone and that together we are stronger than being an individual. And so God says clearly that two are better than one. God says clearly that we are called to bear one another's burdens. Well, what do you mean? Well, out of, again, Warren's book comes a story. It's a story about Huntington, West Virginia. And in Huntington, West Virginia, they were awarded a title in 2009. In 2009, Huntington, West Virginia was given the title as the fattest city in America. The Center for Disease Control identified the unhealthiest city in the United States. To give you an idea, according to the Center for Disease Control, Huntington was first or worst in the nation in adults who suffered from diabetes. 13% of the people there suffered from that. First in heart disease. 22% of people suffered from heart disease there. And first in the percentage of adults who had no regular form of exercise. 31% of people in Huntington never exercised. 31%. Nearly half of those over 65 had lost all of their natural teeth. Nearly half of those over 65, all their teeth were gone. Blood pressure high, circulation issues high, depression high from unhealth. It was crazy, out of control. 46% of adults were obese. Almost 50% of the population obese. And when this happened, there was a local pastor by the name of Pastor Willis who said, "Now I understand why I do so many funerals." And in that, he decided that it was time to take that community and say, we need to choose, is this who we are as Huntington, West Virginia, or is God calling us to something different? And in 2009, began a journey towards preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in a way in which it affected people's physical well-being and built community around that. And in the course of the next years, the results were amazing, and the people of Huntington, West Virginia became healthier. But more importantly, they became a community. A community that was centered around the possibilities that God offered through His Word. A community that were believing in the grace of God, the power of God, the life-changing experience of Jesus Christ, and they came together and worked together as neighbors and changed their lives. You know that Jesus in the New Testament says, love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with everything you've got, love the Lord your God. And then what does he say? Love your neighbor. It's yourself. Today is a day to realize that we're not alone on this earth, folks. And that we are called to love our neighbor. We are called to connect with one another. We are called to support one another. We are called to bear one another's burdens. We are called to live in community, in friendship, in connection, in order to face all that we face in the world today. Or again, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, where it says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. Encourage one another. Build each other up. Folks, we are called as we face this challenge of living healthier to encourage one another, to again support one another, to not be an island, but to be that village, that community, and to care for one another as we face the challenges that God places before us. So what does it look like? Well, I think simply put, it looks like this. We are called to love each other. Now you say, okay, Pastor, that's an easy one. No, I really mean we're called to love each other, which means we need to love people who are different than us. People like you and me, people who are different, people who are struggling, people who are excelling, we are called to love each other. Non-negotiable, love your neighbor. And when we begin there, all of a sudden, that support and that connectedness happens right away. I love the diversity. I love the fact that I don't have some of the issues that some of you have. Because guess what? I can speak into your life and you can speak into my life. And that's the beauty of community. That's the beauty of synergy. That the pieces, the sum of the pieces, again, is greater. That whole is greater than just all the individual little pieces. And so do we really love each other? Because that's where the journey begins. The ability to have that network, to bear each other's burdens, to encourage one another, to again get good return on our work. Love each other. The challenge with that, though, is this. If we say, yeah, okay, we're going to love each other, I now have to listen. Listen. Are we willing to listen? We're called to, once we love, to listen. When someone else is struggling, I'm just not consumed with myself, but I'm consumed with being part of the community, which means I have time for whoever that person might be because I love them. And along with that time and along with that listening means that I might hear about their weaknesses, I might hear about their struggles, I might hear about their joys, I might hear about their sorrows. I might listen and be part of having them cry on my shoulder. I might have to give them a hug. I might have to sit and laugh with them like I have not laughed before. I don't know what it means, but the truth is that if we live in community, then it means we're there for one another, and listening means we're getting involved. And when we get involved, we learn from each other. First, we love each other, then we listen to each other, and then we learn from each other. We suddenly learn what might work. Well, now I know that I'm struggling with X, and I admit it, and I share it. And suddenly somebody else says, you know what, I struggled with that, and this is what I did. This is what I tried. I've read this book, and this seems to help. Suddenly we can learn from one another. And in learning from one another, we have a much better chance of succeeding and becoming healthier people. So again, when we live, we love each other, we listen, we learn, and I love this word, we liberate each other. We liberate each other. When people know that they are connected, they are happy. When people know that there is someone out there who has their back, they are more confident. When people know that they are not alone, but have someone who bear their burdens, someone who spur them on and encourage them, they feel like they can move mountains. I have seen it time and time again. If there's one great example of it, I believe, in this congregation right now. It's Kids Hope. Kids who have nobody, in some senses. Kids who are struggling. Kids who might be rejected. Kids who might very well be loners. And suddenly somebody makes a commitment to spend 1 hour a week with them, and their whole demeanor changes. Because they're not alone anymore. Because they have community. Because they can do anything as long as my mentor, my friend, is in my life. You see, we think that this whole Daniel plan and this whole idea of getting healthy is me saying, I'm going to eat better, I'm going to exercise, I'm going to have my plan, leave me alone, I'll get it done. Well, guess what? Even science said that doesn't work. The piece that's missing is community. And so when we look at these endeavors, and when we look forward at certain things in our lives and the challenges that we want to tackle, if we want to succeed, we got to do it together. We got to look around and we got to confess, we got to listen, we got to share, and we got to work together at becoming who God wants us to be because of the bonds and friendships that we have. Again, it's not just about reaching goals. But it's about the joy that comes with living together. Living as a family. That we're not just toting the water to the horses alone. But we've got somebody to tote it with. I mean, do you have an image of that in your head? Come on now. Here we are. We're going to tote water to the horses. All of us here as adults, right? We're going to fill the buckets up to a certain point. We're going to very carefully pick those buckets up. And we're going to walk them to the horses. Maybe we'll be smart enough to put them in a cart. Maybe we'll fill some. But we'll do it logically. We'll get it done. I don't want to mess with those kids. I don't want to mess with somebody else. Got her done. That's one image. Now, let's go back over here to the kids. The kids who immediately upon filling the bucket, what? They overflow it. Pretty soon, there's water all over their clothes. There's mud. There's a mess. They walk down the road and it sloshes and it spills. It takes forever. But what else do you usually hear? Look at your shoes, you got horse poop all the time. And there's laughter. And there's usually some joy. And there's some bickering. And there's some fighting. And there's all of that. But it's because they're doing it together. God wants us to do this together. God wants us to look at one another and share our joys. And to pick each other up. And to laugh together and cry together. And be together, because a cord of three strands, you, me, God, isn't to be broken. And He wants us to live encouraging one another, supporting each other's burdens, being honest. He wants us to be able, like it or not, I'm sorry, to belly up to the bar, to look up and down the bar and say, you know what? I always feel comfortable here because you're all broken. I'm broken. But I know that I've got this community. So this morning, who do you need to reach out to? Is there someone who you need to reach out to in order to move forward in this Daniel plan? To move forward in life? Is there someone who you know has been reaching out to you? Knocking on that door saying, I need help. And you've been saying, too busy. Deal with it on your own. I've got my own water bucket. You leave yours there. Are you listening? Are you looking? Are you sharing? Are you building relationships that can change your life and others' lives in the world today? Love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God with all that you've got. But love your neighbor too. Amen.